For BBS Radio, this is Health Frontiers, and I'm Lexi Ross. And we have one of my favorite guests on tonight, Dr. Rebecca Carley, who I consider one of the nation's foremost experts on vaccine-induced diseases. And as usual, Dr. Carley, the controversies follow her, and she's in the midst of a controversy around a Dr. Wakefield, and I wanted you to talk about that tonight, Rebecca, and let us know what's going on with that.
Sure. Well, actually, I'm not involved with the controversy around Dr. Wakefield. Dr. Wakefield is now involved in a controversy in regards to the MMR vaccine and its links to autism and Crohn's disease, according to a Lancet article that he published in, I believe it was 1998.
Well, now tell us what the MMR vaccine is, because a lot of our listeners won't know what that is.
The MMR vaccine is the measles, mumps, and rubella vaccine.
Okay.
And as my website documents, drcarley.com, drcarley.com, prove, the two documents of particular importance are inoculations, the true weapons of mass destruction, as well as my response to the CDC, where I quote from the medical books themselves the dangers that are caused by vaccinations that are in the medical books, but what they've done is changed the names of the diseases. In particular, with autism, it is called subacute sclerosing panencephalitis in the medical books, but when you read the description, you see that it is, in fact, autism. And I'll stop and let you ask questions, but I just want to state this is a very important point. Dr. Wakefield has been aware of my work for years, and I had contacted him and asked him for help knowing what he was doing. He was in England at the time because his work involved, he's a gastroenterologist, and his work involved doing, colonoscopes on these children, these autistic children, and taking biopsies from their bowel, and he proved that they had measles virus that was remaining in their bowel. So obviously this was highly involved in causing their bowel disturbances. Now, when I contacted Dr. Wakefield a few years ago and told him what I was doing, because my work detoxifying the vaccines proves that it is, in fact, the vaccines, despite my documents, which are a recent thing I've written over the past year and a half or so, but my work proves that it is, in fact, the vaccines, and I contacted him to ask him for help when they went after my medical license, and he did absolutely nothing. So I was recently contacted to help him, and I actually agreed to help him because since I contacted him, I've now written these documents that proves it is, in fact, the measles virus that is causing autism in particular, but many other problems as well, and I haven't heard back from him yet. But Dr. Wakefield is, in fact, now being charged with four different charges by the GMC, which is the English version of the medical board here in the United States.
How is it that he's being charged? Why?
Well,
what are the charges that are being brought against him?
You'll get a big kick out of this, Lexi. I mean, it's not funny, but people have to realize how insane this is, what they're doing to this man. His charges basically are, let me see, I've got them outlined here. Okay. Primarily that he published inadequately founded research. And, of course, we all know what research is done on drugs. Basically, the drug companies are allowed to do whatever they want to do, and the FDA just buys it and approves the drugs. Apparently, the main problem that they have is that they're charging that he was inappropriate because he had a, quote-unquote, fatal conflict of interest. And this Lancet article that he wrote has since been disowned by the journal because the rate of the triple jab, as they call it in England, dramatically decreased after he wrote this article. And let me quote exactly what this article says. It says, Mr. Wakefield was being paid to see if there was any evidence to support possible legal action by a group of parents who claimed their children were damaged by the vaccine. In other words, the fatal conflict of interest stems from the fact that he was being paid by a group of parents to prove that their children were injured. Now, I don't know if the listeners are aware of this fact, but the conflicts of interest involving articles printed in medical journals in this country where the doctors are actually paid by the pharmaceutical companies are so legion that an article was published, I believe it was in JAMA a couple of years ago, saying that, you know, the problem's so rampant they're just not going to worry about it anymore. But that's the main charge that they're making about against Dr. Wakefield. And they, of course, call him Mr. Wakefield here, just further, not giving him respect. They say that he also failed to obtain ethical committee approval for the work. Now, that's a joke, because here in this country, they're doing all kinds of tests on children, testing them with pesticides. I mean, I could go on and on as to what kinds of things that they're doing. Look at what just happened with this new vaccine for cervical cancer, where they're alleging that it protects you against the human papillomavirus. They injected it to thousands of children, and they're calling that ethical, but yet they're saying that Dr. Wakefield's work was unethical because he didn't obtain ethical committee approval. Of course, no ethics committee is going to approve a work like this, where he's proving these children have measles virus in their colon, which matches the same virus that they were given in their vaccine, because the ethics committee are just another alphabet agency type of group that basically is, you know, funded by
the pharmaceutical industry.
There you go. Exactly. Okay? And the other thing, they said that he subjected children to, quote-unquote, unnecessary and invasive investigations. Now, unfortunately, when you do a colonoscopy, especially on autistic children, you have to put them to sleep, of course. So you're giving them another dose of toxin, which is anesthesia. But, of course, this is done every day in this country. They do all kinds of tests on children, you know, CAT scans and MRIs and everything you can imagine, including colonoscopies for all kinds of different problems. But it only becomes an issue when the doctor doing it is proving that vaccines, which are the sacred cow of the pharmaceutical cartels, are causing something as devastating as autism, because, of course, the baptism of the Church of Modern Day Medicine, which is inoculations with disease, is what's leading to the corruption of the immune system that causes all autoimmune disease and cancer. And if that was stopped, the pharmaceutical cartels would go out of business.
Well, it would be damn close anyway. I mean, that and all the drugs that they put on the market that keep people addicted for years. I'd love for you to talk about this bird flu thing too, Rebecca. My understanding is that the bird flu cannot be transmitted to humans, and that it's just sort of a overblown issue to sell a lot of vaccine or whatever. How do you feel about the bird flu?
Well, first of all, I don't believe there is any such thing as the bird flu, or at least not this quote-unquote fatal version they're calling HN51. Yes, birds get sick as well, but who are the birds that are getting sick? They're basically the birds that are being kept in agri-farms, you know, where the birds are cooped up. A lot of times they cut off their beaks so they can't peck at each other. They have no room to move. They're, you know, basically standing in their own feces. And that's not a very sanitary environment. So, of course, birds in an environment like that are going to be much more prone to catch any virus that is transmitted throughout the community of birds. But, of course, it's an excuse for them to come up with yet another vaccine. And they keep on, I mean, every day in the paper here in Florida, there's another article about the bird flu. They're trying to scare people big time with this bird flu. And they're, of course, coming up with a vaccine for it. As a matter of fact, they're vaccinating all the birds in Asia, which is, of course, what's giving more birds bird flu. I mean, this makes common sense. You inject them with bird flu, they're going to get bird flu.
That's
or
right.
Whatever it is they're injecting them with.
I was injected for typhoid one time and got typhoid.
Right. Well, there you go. That's why, you see, once your eyes are open to the insanity of this, where they're telling you they're going to protect you, I mean, if you're out in the world, you may possibly get exposed to a virus. If your body's clean and your immune system's working, you have nothing to be afraid of. But let's pretend that wasn't the case. Would you rather be intentionally inoculated with the virus or take your chances out in the world? I think I would rather take my chances out in the world because, as I describe in my paper, if you get the virus, quote-unquote, naturally, you inhale it or ingest it, then your immune system is activated in a certain way, as explained in the paper on my website, which is what gives you natural immunity. Of course, when you inject it directly into your bloodstream, it bypasses those mechanisms, and that's what causes chronic disease. But I just want to mention one other amazing fact that I just got an email of an article recently. I didn't know you were going to talk about that because I don't have that at my fingertips. But as it turns out, there's some public official in another country that's up in arms because apparently our dear country here has now made plans to spray the population.
Yeah, I was just going to get to that.
Yes. And, of course, how insane is that? You know, they know that people aren't going to buy this bird flu vaccine. There's too many people waking up. So they're going to spray us with bird flu to protect us. And let me also mention that the drug Tamiflu, which is being touted as a quote-unquote cure for the bird flu, and they've stockpiled millions and millions of dollars of that to give it to the public. Of course, Donald Rumsfeld is CEO of a company that originated Tamiflu, and he's going to make billions of dollars
off
it.
Which one is that?
That's just a coincidence.
Which company is that?
I don't remember the company that
is it Serum Laboratories? Because that's the one that he originally got aspartame legalized through Serum Laboratories, which is a subsidiary of Monsanto.
Yes, I am aware of that. I don't remember that. Like I said, I didn't know you were going to talk about this today. There's so many facts for me to remember in regards to all this corruption.
Oh, sure.
But, in fact, I do know because I researched this, that he is highly involved in the company that originated it, not the one that's not now selling it. But let me also mention, because this is very important, that Tamiflu has been proven to mutate the virus. So this is another insane thing they're doing, because now they're saying to us, well, there's a possibility that bird flu won't, you know, mutate to infect humans. But we're going to give you a drug that's going to cause mutation of the virus should you be exposed to it. I mean, what's up with that?
Well, have they designated where they're going to use the spray yet?
I haven't heard any designation of that, no. But, you know, with all the chemtrails going on, who knows?
That's right.
You know, maybe that'll just be another little additive they'll stick in all the chemtrails. I mean, it's getting totally insane. I want to also mention that Tamiflu has a psychiatric effect. In fact, there was a number of children in Japan that killed themselves after taking Tamiflu.
Oh, you're kidding.
No. It's another psych drug. You see, these drugs all have psychiatric effects as well. So,
well, you know, for those people who didn't hear you the first time, I'd love for you to talk about how these vaccines affect the myelin coating of the cells and how they actually hinder the system to be more vulnerable to any kind of disease, and especially those that come down through your ancestry. Can you talk about that again, because I don't think people have a good handle on why the vaccines are so detrimental to the body.
Okay. There's something very important in the upper gastrointestinal and respiratory tract called secretory IgA. Secretory IgA is a very important antibody that's involved in the initial processing of a bacteria or virus that comes into the body. And it's required for that secretory antibody to be involved in order for the progression of things that happen down the line with the rest of the immune system to become able to push it out of your body and to make the immune system able to recognize it for the rest of your life. That's what's important for the immune system to work, secretory IgA.
Let me just ask you quickly.
Yes.
Is this, when this happens, because, you know, fever plays such an important role.
Yes.
In defeating any kind of virus, does that particular substance lower the body's inability to raise a fever to kill these germs?
You mean secretory IgA?
Yeah.
No, secretory IgA is important in the immune mechanism.
No, I don't mean that. I mean when the vaccine comes in the body, does it harm the body in such a way that it cannot raise the fever to get rid of the virus?
Well, actually, it's hard to even say that, because when vaccines are given to children, many times they do get fevers, and what the pediatricians are doing now is they're telling the parents to take Tylenol before they come to the office so that when they get their vaccine, they won't get a fever.
Uh-huh.
So I don't think that the fever mechanism is so much impaired, but what you're raising is a very important point, because parents are taught to be afraid of a fever. I've had clients call me and say, my child has a temperature of 99. I'm like, and, you know?
Yeah, right.
I mean, unless your temperature goes up to 104, 105, you know, that's when the brain is in danger, you're not having a problem. The febrile response is very important in helping to burn up these organisms, especially
exactly.
the bacteria. Yes, because there's things that the bacteria like to eat, the bacteria especially, that are actually taken up when you have a fever. I won't get into all the medical lingo, but the fever actually helps to make it where the bacteria have nothing to live on. So it's a very important part of the immune response. But getting back to what happens when you're inoculated with disease, when you inject somebody directly with these bacteria or viruses, you're bypassing the secretory IgA in the upper GI and respiratory systems. And so what you're doing is sticking it right into the body. And you're adding to that virus or bacteria something called an adjuvant. An adjuvant is something that makes the B cells, which are the cells in the immune system that make antibody, go into hyperdrive. And the adjuvants are usually made out of aluminum, which causes Alzheimer's disease. And now I've heard, people have probably heard about the squalene that was in some of the anthrax shots given to the Gulf War soldiers. And, of course, they concentrated on the squalene as being the problem. They didn't concentrate on the fact that the inoculations themselves are causing problems. But I recently heard that they're now going to be putting squalene in the flu shots for the elderly, knowing what it did to the Gulf War soldiers. So
wow.
There's an apparent insane agenda going on here.
It's obvious.
The population. Pardon me?
Yeah, it's an effort to diminish the population.
Yes, it's self-evident that's what they're doing. As a matter of fact, on Sunday night on the Sci-Fi Channel, they had this amazing 3-hour special called Doomsday. I'm sure some of your listeners saw it. And they were putting fear into the public about everything. And, of course, the bird flu was high on the list. But getting back to what the vaccines do to the immune system. So you're injecting these adjuvants into the body, which are going to make the B cells go crazy and make all this antibody, when they're combined with the viruses and or bacteria. And it's very important for the listeners to know that the B cells and the T cells being the little Pac-Man cells that are supposed to gobble up bacteria, viruses, and cancer cells, they can't both be in high drive at the same time. So by making the B cells go into hyperdrive, you're putting the T cells to sleep. So all you're doing is making antibody. See, the way the immune system works is the antibody is supposed to attach to the bad guy, be it virus, bacteria, or cancer cell, and then the antibody being on that pathogen, that antigen, as it's called, is supposed to make the T cell recognize it and gobble it up. But the T cells are sleeping, so they can't recognize it because they can't work because the B cells are taking all the energy and doing all the work. Now, in the case of the measles virus, as it turns out, the measles virus itself has certain proteins in it which make it very similar to myelin basic protein. Myelin is to a nerve what the plastic coating is to an electrical cord. It is the insulation. And if there's not proper insulation, as anybody knows that's slammed an electrical cord in a door or had their cat chewed or whatever, if you've got holes in the insulation, you're not going to conduct the electrical impulses properly. So this is the same thing that happens with myelin. Since the measles virus has antigens in it that look like myelin basic protein, the B cells make antibody against these antigens, and the antibody then attacks the myelin. And this is responsible for all neurological autoimmune diseases, including sudden infant death syndrome, most cases of shaken baby syndrome, autism, ADD, learning disabilities, highly involved in Parkinson's, although that's got some pesticides issues as well, just about every single neurological problem you could imagine, Tourette syndrome, Guillain-Barré, I could go on and on. These are all caused by the same mechanism of antibodies being created against the myelin sheath.
Do you have the statistics that show what the increase of autism and these various brain disorders with children, you know, ADD and all these various dysfunctions are, you know, how much they've increased over the last, say, 10 or 20 years?
Well, that's a very interesting question, Lexi. And the first thing I'd like to say about that question is, as a total, if you're going to talk about vaccine-induced diseases, see, nobody else admits they're vaccine-induced diseases. That's why they create all these new boxes for them. They're constantly inventing new diseases. You know, autism just came up. I didn't even learn about autism in medical school. I went to medical school in the late 80s. It was never mentioned. All these new diseases are constantly being created. So as far as the increase in all these diseases over the last 20 years, I have no idea. You'd have to do an independent study on each certain disease, not to mention the fact that many of these diseases are never even diagnosed because they try to cover it up. You've got to have all kinds of, you know, psychological tests and all kinds of stuff done to your children before they'll even be given the diagnosis.
But, sure, and the money that they're making on just the test.
Yes. But and of course, let's also say that the schools get more funding once a child's labeled special needs, and so there's all kinds of financial payoffs between these minions, which goes on in order to not only make the children sick, but diagnose them as having these problems and then put them into their quote-unquote special programs. Think of all the special ed teachers. A lot of these children have one-on-one. They have one child and one teacher watching over that child. But I want to make one very important point, and that is that these diseases were not even known in, say, you know, the early 19th century, or especially the late 18th century.
Well, not even in the 70s were they known.
Well, there was a few cases. They've been inoculating people with disease for quite a while. As a matter of fact, there's a very excellent book called The Vaccinations of the Silent Killer, which exposes the fact that the 1918 flu epidemic was, in fact, caused by inoculations to the soldiers in World War I. World War I was the first time that they inoculated all the soldiers, and they're using that as a scare tactic for the bird flu, saying, oh, well, remember what happened in 1918, all the millions of people killed. What they don't tell you is that they were sick because of the inoculations given to the soldiers and then forced on the public after the soldiers got sick. So the important point for people to realize is that all of these diseases, they're all new emerging diseases, and they've only emerged since inoculations came into being. It is truly the most insane thing that my profession has ever done. You'd be better off being bloodletted than have inoculations injected.
Well, you know, that's what I often say, that in another 25 years, removing organs will be like we look back on bloodletting and leaching.
Well, there's actually,
you know,
some...
That's how barbaric our medical profession is.
Well, they're going back to leaching. I saw a special on television. There's a doctor here in Florida that is putting leeches on his patients after plastic surgery in order to decrease the swelling. Now, of course, he could just use a homeopathic arnica instead, but he's actually, they showed him on TV taking these leeches out of a little jar and sticking them on this lady that had plastic surgery. It was killing.
Oh, my God.
Yes.
Well, I'm curious. Is Dr. Wakefield now aligning himself with you and realizing that, you know, he obviously has begun to realize that there's some truth in what you've been saying for years?
Well, see, Dr. Wakefield always knew there was truth in what I was saying, because Dr. Wakefield was at a talk that I gave explaining the mechanism whereby this happened in 1999. But you see, the problem is, Lexi, that I'm so quote-unquote controversial because I go to the highest levels. I talk about U.S. Code Title 50 that says they're allowed to inoculate us and spray us with biological warfare agents without our permission. I've been doing this for years. So a lot of people get scared. Same thing with Joseph Mercola. A lot of people know about him, the National Vaccine Information Center. All the vaccine people know about me and my work, and they all know that I'm right, because when I ask them to show me what's wrong, they never respond. And as a matter of fact, I've now offered a $10,000 reward to anyone to refute what I say in my documents. And that's going to be going up on my website, the correspondence I had with the American Academy of Pediatrics on June 16th, and they said they'd reply within 3 days, and here it is 12 days later, and I haven't heard any word, and I know I won't. But I just want to mention the fact that I'm very willing to help Dr. Wakefield, and I'm hoping that now that they've got his back against the wall, he'll realize it's time to bring my CDC document out of, you know, the woodwork, because he has more public exposure than I, because of the fact that he had this article published in Lancet. Now, of course, they've, you know, withdrawn the article, and now they're basically saying that he committed medical misconduct, but at least he was able to get it out there. No medical journal is going to publish my documents because they're too right to the point, and they basically, you know, nail the head of the nail and prove that the inoculations are the true weapons of mass destruction. I don't have Dr. Wakefield's present contact information. If anyone does, I actually emailed somebody I know in England asking them to hook me up with him wherever he may be now. I know he lives in the U.S. now, but I don't know where he is, and I don't have time to track him down. I'm quite busy myself doing other things.
Well,
but
you
knows,
just spoke at a conference recently, didn't you?
Were you at the
Science and Consciousness Conference?
No, I was in Cleveland, Ohio. I was the keynote speaker at the International Health Expo in Cleveland. And then 3 weeks later, I was in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, at the National Health Federation's conference. I go all over doing conferences. And so a lot of people are hearing about what I'm doing. Not only the fact of the vaccines are causing the disease, but you see, my message is also that there's good news, that the vaccine diseases can be reversed. The protocol I have developed reverses all autoimmune diseases and cancer. So that is the good news. But, of course, that makes me even scarier to the pharmaceutical cartels, because imagine all these diseases being reversed and people do not have to take the drugs anymore. So I'm not well-liked by the pharmaceutical, medical, industrial complex at all. But I don't care, because I must speak the truth. I'm disgusted with what my profession has become.
Well, I'd love for you to review. When I talked to you the first time, we talked about some research that was conducted back in the 1920s proving that vaccines caused diseases at that time. And who were the people that were conducting that research back then?
Well, I'm sorry. Like I said, we were going to talk about Wakefield. I don't remember what you're speaking of people conducting vaccine research proving that vaccines cause disease. I mean, the medical establishment has never done that. What I talked about, I believe, on the other show was some documents that I found in this book, Harrison's Principles of Internal Medicine. Now, there's many different editions of this book. I have three. I have 1970, 1983, which was when I was in medical school, and 2005. Now, only the 1970 edition states certain things that prove that they know that the vaccines are causing disease. As a matter of fact, one particular quote in this edition of Harrison's talks about how vaccinations do not prevent disease. In fact, they give you a chronic case of the disease. And that is one of the most important statements that I've ever found. And, of course, that's been taken out of all subsequent editions of Harrison's. But that basically proves that they know exactly what they're doing. As a matter of fact, that statement is on page 943 of the sixth edition, which was published in 1970, and I'll quote it exactly. Rarely is prevention of infection per se considered to be an important goal of vaccination. In fact, asymptomatic infection after vaccination can serve to enhance and prolong the immune response. Now, why is it prolonging the immune response? Because, as I said, there's no way to push the organisms out of your body because the secretory IgA was not involved in getting the proper immune response going, not to mention the fact that the B cells are the only thing working. There's no T cells to push them out. The T cells are what push them out. That's why with the children who get measles, chickenpox, et cetera, they get these rashes. The rashes are the viruses being pushed out of the body by the T cells. Now, another very important statement that they make right in the next paragraph in the same book, on the same page, as they say, persistence and latency. Many viruses persist in host tissues for months or years without causing overt disease. A flare-up of these latent infections may be induced by trauma, other diseases, decline in antibody titers, or unknown stimuli. So you see, they're admitting that not only are the viruses causing you this persistent latent chronic infection, but that the viruses are going to flare up once you have another assault to your immune system, which, of course, your immune system's not going to be working properly to begin with, because now it's got another assault to begin with, and that's how these flare-ups occur. Shingles is a very good example of that. You know, if you have the chickenpox virus in you and your immune system wasn't able to push it out, it stays in your nerves, and then you get another immune assault and you get shingles many years down the line, and this is extremely painful to undergo. Many people are going to be getting shingles now that they're giving the chickenpox vaccine.
Wow. Well, that was the research that I was referring to.
Yes.
I remember that you had read that.
Yes.
I understand that there has been an outbreak of chickenpox and that they are giving chickenpox vaccine again.
Well, you see, this is what always cracks me up. I mean, I have to have a sense of humor in this line of work, because in those articles where they talk about outbreaks of chickenpox, there was also an outbreak of mumps, I believe it was someplace in Idaho, and there's outbreaks of things different places. The one thing you will never read is how many of the children in which the viruses outbreak, were they vaccinated? Because I can guarantee you that those children, I just read to you, the persistence and latency aspect of things. Now, of course, if you've been inoculated with these diseases and they keep on inoculating you, then you're getting more and more assaults to your immune system, and eventually one of them's going to come out of hiding.
It's
so that's what happens. If
the
children that have never been inoculated are exposed to those children that are now coming down with the diseases, they're going to have a normal immune response, and they're going to be immune for life. And as a matter of fact, back in my mother's day, if a child had chicken pox or measles, all the other moms would bring the child to that person's house so they could get the disease, get it over with, and especially because you don't want children to get these diseases in their teenage years for many reasons. They're going to have worse scarring. You know, with mumps, there's a possibility of sterility in teenage boys and things of that nature. So you want to get these diseases when the children are, you know, basically in grade school, so they can get it over and be immune for life. And
well, yeah, I recall that happening when I was a kid. Everybody, we would have measles parties.
Yes.
I had measles at least three or four times, different kinds. Now, tell me who Peter Khawaja is.
Okay.
Am I saying his name right?
Peter Khawaja. Peter Khawaja is actually my partner that's working with me on a project we're getting Against the Grain going again. Internet radio show. The website is againstthegrain.info. Peter Khawaja was a high-level government security expert in the late 1980s, specializing in anti-terrorism. And what he discovered was that the government was infiltrated with the terrorists. And he has documentation that various senators on tape laughing about doing certain things to the public and to the soldiers. He has all kinds of documentation that they're intentionally killing the military with the inoculations, and that the initial Gulf War was actually the crucible to bring in the New World Order. This whole thing has been planned, you see. That's why they sent Saddam some biological weapons, so that later on they could say, oh, we made a mistake. You know, we shouldn't have sent him to Saddam. He used him on the soldiers. No, it wasn't Saddam that used him on the soldiers. It was the doctors with the needles that inoculated the soldiers. Peter Khawaja actually sued President Bush 1 in 1994, charging with 34 counts. And the listeners can go to his website, agwva.org, that's American Gulf War Veterans Association.org, and read about this lawsuit where he sued President Bush in 1994 for crimes against humanity, war crimes, etc. The judge in the case dismissed the case, saying that Bush is immune under color of law. They murdered Peter's wife. They burned down his house with him in it. He barely escaped with his life. They've been doing all kinds of things to this man for 15 years,
including
they offered him $100 million to go away, but he refused. So basically, he and I teamed up a couple of years ago. That's why I moved to Florida to work with him and to do broadcasts with him talking about these various issues. There's been a lot of forces that kind of put that to a stop for a while. He's been very distracted with another radio station that he works with. But we will soon be getting Against the Grain back on the air. And what we're planning on doing is Internet war crimes trials, showing the people of the world the evidence that he has that the military is being killed on purpose so that they can bring about their new world order and there will be no soldiers here to protect and serve. and my information, including the documents on my website, which prove that the medical establishment is very much aiding and abetting this effort. Because as I just read to you, they know very well that diseases being inoculated into you give you a chronic case of the disease. Plus, as we discussed earlier in the show, this autoimmune aspect that takes place. So it's not just the fact you're getting the disease. It's the fact that your immune system is then going to attack you. Now, when the T cells shut down, that's when you get cancer. Because what I always explain to everybody is that everybody has cancer. You have cancer, I have cancer, everybody listening has cancer. However, if your immune system is working, it's going to kill the cancer cells. And what's happening is that more and more people's immune systems are not working because they're inoculating everything that breathes. As a matter of fact, my protocol also works on pets. I've got dogs, cats, ferrets, you name it. Anything they're inoculating also is getting autoimmune diseases and cancer from their inoculation. So this is how serious a situation we have here.
Dr. Carley, do you believe that the chronic fatigue and the some of the other immune system diseases are being caused by these vaccines? Because there's such a prevalence of chronic fatigue. And what's the other disease? The
fibromyalgia.
Fibromyalgia. Yeah, that seems to be on the increase right now.
Well, I love it when people use that word believe. I always have to say, no, I don't believe it. I know it. You see, there's a big difference. There's a lie in the middle of the word belief. None of these diseases were around before all these things started happening. And we have to mention chemtrails in this scenario because, in my experience, the people that I've reversed of fibromyalgia and chronic fatigue, it can be one of two things. It can be a latent polio infection, or it can be mycoplasma. And, of course, mycoplasma is one of the things they're putting in the chemtrails. So I don't believe it. I know it. And I
well,
know
explain what mycoplasma is for those that don't understand.
Okay, mycoplasma is an organism. It's not a bacteria and it's not a virus. It's a very unusual organism that does not have a cell wall. What makes it so bad that it doesn't have a cell wall is that it can actually burrow itself between the layers of your cells, and it's actually able to get into cells where the immune system can't even recognize it to begin with. And mycoplasma has been associated with every kind of infection you can imagine. It can go into your...
Well, this is Lexi Ross back with Dr. Rebecca Carley. We've had some interference on the line. And Rebecca, we were just starting to discuss a very controversial topic, and that is mycoplasma.
Okay, wait. Can we go back to where we were? Because first of all, let me say that the line went dead. It wasn't just problems on the line. And I remember exactly where I was. You see, luckily for me, I've detoxed all my heavy metals and my mind works extremely well. What we were talking about is the difference between Gulf War plague and Gulf War syndrome.
Okay.
Gulf War plague is the mycoplasma infection. And as a matter of fact, I have a copy of a patent by one of the most evil scientists on this planet, in my opinion. His name is Dr. Xinqing Lo, where he has actually patented something called Mycoplasma incognitus. Now, as with all organisms, there's many different species of organisms. But what he's patented, what they created in a laboratory, and he actually patented, was a special version called incognitus. Now, the word incognito, what does that mean? It means, you know, you're in disguise. And that's the reason he named this mycoplasma incognitus, because this particular mycoplasma is particularly able to go into any tissue and cause an intercellular infection. And as I said before, it can mimic all kinds of diseases. And for many, many years, you know, they kept on saying that there was nothing wrong with the soldiers. There was no Gulf War plague or Gulf War syndrome. It was all in their heads. And then certain people came up to the fore to prove that there was. One of them by the name of Dr. Garth Nicholson, who actually helped develop the mycoplasma. He came forward stating that his wife and daughter had gotten sick, and he had developed a test for it. Turned out Peter had proof that he was involved in creating it. And what they were doing was putting a test out there so that they could get further experimental evidence on the soldiers that they had infected to see how well their dirty little plan was working. And there was actually another action that took place, because the key thing that happened was that soldiers who never went to the war itself, who were just based in this country, but had gotten their inoculations came down with Gulf War syndrome as well.
And, oh, my God.
And you may want to have Peter on your show sometime because he's much more versed in this than I am. But he actually has proof that what they tried to do was basically pass some kind of a law stating that any soldier who was not in combat could not be diagnosed with Gulf War syndrome, because now they're starting to admit, they have to admit it now, that there is such a thing. They're still saying they don't really know why and all these things, but they said that any soldier that had, you know, contracted this problem without seeing a battle and was just in this country and only gotten inoculated, they could not be diagnosed with this, they could not get disability benefits, etc. And there's thousands and thousands of soldiers that have died from this.
What are the symptoms of the Gulf War syndrome, and how similar is it to what the soldiers are experiencing now in Iraq? Because
it's the
same
exact
thing is
same
happening.
Thing.
Yeah,
it's the exact same thing. And you see, this is what's so amazing to me, Lexi. I mean, how could these soldiers that are signing up for this war not do any research whatsoever into what's going on? They just see those commercials, you know, Army of One or whatever the case may be. They figure, oh, I'll have lifetime benefits. Even though everybody knows that they're closing VA hospitals and denying veterans benefits, no matter how disabled they are, that they believe that they're going to be able to go to school and get an education, little do they know that they're going to be so sick and in bed and possibly dying that they're not going to be able to get that education. They
well,
do no research.
See, these kids are not educated. They're from poor families, unfortunately.
Exactly.
The poorest families of the country, they're not exposed to the truth.
They're cannon fodder.
Exactly.
And that's how they're being treated. Yes, unfortunately, that's true. And they think that they're going to make a way for themselves. And, you know, the parents may even encourage them to say, oh, you know, you're involved in street gangs or whatever. You'll get disciplined, go into the service. As a matter of fact, I've heard of cases in court where a teenager, you know, in their late teens is basically doing juvenile delinquent type of things. And the judge will offer them that if they go into the service, they won't have any crimes against them. They will basically clean their record. How do you like that one?
Oh, my goodness.
Mm-hmm.
How interesting. Well, what are the symptoms of the Iraqi war now and the Gulf War symptoms? What are these young men experiencing?
Everything you can imagine. There's not just one thing I could say, because especially, like I said, the Gulf War plague, the injection of the organisms is its own certain type of infections and fevers and autoimmune diseases and cancer. But then they're adding the depleted uranium and the pyridostigmine. They're feeding them aspartame-laden drinks. You were just talking about aspartame, which, as you correctly stated, Donald Rumsfeld was totally involved in getting pushed through the FDA. It's one of the most toxic neurotoxins known to man. There's so many things they're doing to these soldiers.
Well, I even heard that the soldiers coming back when they have sex with their wives, their wives have inflamed uterus and get all these vaginal infections, and that they're getting the same diseases from their husband, in a sense.
That's the mycoplasma. Yes, exactly. And not only the wives, but I have documents of soldiers before the Murray Building was bombed, which, by the way, the Murray Building had all the hard copies of the medical records of the soldiers from Gulf War I. So funny how those were destroyed.
You mean the Murray Building, was that in Washington?
The one that was bombed. I forget where it was. Everybody heard of the Murray Building being bombed. That was when was it? I believe back in 1994.
Huh.
Right after the first Gulf War.
That one eluded me. I didn't hear about that.
Well, anyways, the point being that they kept medical records. I have copies of medical records from one soldier that he was able to get them before they were destroyed. And in the medical records themselves, you can see that these various things are listed like experiments. It was like they had Desert Storm, Desert Shield, and Desert Saber. And they're referring to exposure to inoculations, the oil fires, and I forget what the other thing was because there's so many possibilities. But the point is that they actually listed it as though it was an experiment, and then they would give the soldier a commendation, you know, say at the bottom of his medical record, given a commendation or whatever for his service to his country. This one particular soldier got so sick, I'm sure he's probably dead by now. He also gave his wife the disease, and he also had two children born. They were twins who were so neurologically damaged that they were, you know, basically unsalvageable. I mean, I have no idea. I'm sure they're in an institution by now. It was beyond autism. There's even cases of pets getting the disease, and also cases of doctors taking care of these people getting the disease. As a matter of fact, I helped one family in Buffalo, New York, where the soldier had brought home some kind of a rug or, you know, something of that nature. I forget what he called it, a tapestry. He had brought home a tapestry that he had with him in Iraq. And the whole family, including the grandparents, everybody that walked in the house got sick. And finally they figured out that the source of it was this tapestry. So it's not just one thing. There's so many things that they're doing. It's unbelievable.
Well, what about all these doctors who have disappeared? There's over 40 different doctors that I understand that have been working on various governmental projects that have just vanished.
Well, they're being murdered, obviously. I mean, they've tried to kill me. Apparently, I have some higher level protection. But yes, they're going to come after anybody that speaks the truth. And from what I understand, you see, the problem is with some of these government scientists, they get involved in these different experiments on humanity, and they figure, oh, they're going to get a promotion, or they're going to, you know, make a lot of money, have a Mercedes in the driveway, whatever the case may be. But then eventually their conscience kicks in, and they try to get out of it, or they may even expose certain documents to people like Peter Kowalczyk, because he's got a whole bunch of things. And let me just say, they're not where he lives. He's got them hidden all over the world. That's why they killed his wife, because his wife took things all over the world and dropped them off. That's what's kept Peter alive all these years. But what they do is they want to come clean. And from what I've actually heard, some of these scientists have different things implanted in them that make it so that if they don't get the certain drug refilled on a regular basis, they will die. So all they have to do is not show up to get their refill, and they're dead. They call it the CIA flu.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. And I know this sounds like very high-level conspiracy stuff to the listeners, and people don't want to believe this is going on, but I would not be talking about these things if I didn't know the man that's got the proof of everything I'm saying, not to mention what I've experienced myself for telling the truth. You know, it gets a little obvious after a while. The reason they took my medical license away from me, even though I had not a single complaint against me, even when I was a surgeon, none of my patients ever complained about anything I ever did, because I always did the right thing, and what I would do, you know, how I would treat somebody if I would want to be treated that way myself. So they had to say I have a delusion of conspiracy because I talked about these things on my TV show in Long Island. And that's the way they try to get people, is to make them into a psych case and say they have a delusion of conspiracy. Well, guess what, folks? There is a conspiracy. And all you got to do is do the research, and you will find it's true, and you're paying for it. Now, the good news is that these people that are all committing treason in the District of Criminals can be held accountable for their actions, and that's what we're going to do in the Internet War Crimes Trials, is hold them accountable. And like I said, maybe you'll want to have Peter on sometime. I'm sure you'll have phone line problems that time, too. But you may want
to
have him
on. Yeah, I probably would
on.
Like to do that. We're almost out of time, Rebecca, and I wanted to see if there was any further comments that you wanted to make about Dr. Wakefield before we go.
Well, what I would like to say to Dr. Wakefield is I would love to help you, Dr. Wakefield. And you see, it's very sad. What he's learning is that what goes around comes around. At the time that they went after me, he was probably the most well-known doctor in the autistic community that had proof that vaccines were causing a problem. And when I asked him for help, there was nothing, deafening silence. But I'm willing to help him because the documents that I've now written will definitely prove that he's not only correct, but that the inoculations are causing all these diseases. And if any of the listeners have any contact info for him or whatever, please do tell him that I'm here, ready, willing, and able.
Well, I want to thank you for your courage. I want to thank you for being so honest and exposing all these horrors to our listening audience. And I hope that people will tune into your website, which I would like you to give again, if you would, please.
Sure. It's drcarley.com. drcarley.com, and I'm also available for consults if any of you have any autoimmune diseases or cancer or your pets and you need help to reverse them. That's what I do, is teach people how to do that.
Well, thank you very much, and I'm sure we'll be speaking again, and God bless, and I hope you're well protected, my dear.
Thank you, Lexi. Don't worry. I am very well protected.
Good night.
Have a good night. Thanks for the opportunity.
All right. And this has been Lexi Ross with BBSRadio.com with Health Frontiers. And we aim to expose the medical profession as much as we can here in America because we know how many people are being harmed.
You have been listening to BBS Radio, a blogandservice.com production and a Service to Others endeavor. Thank you very much for tuning into our radio program, and we wish you much peace and joy on your journey.